Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Well, good evening to you, and welcome to the second and final hour of the show. It is Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. I hope that you've loved the first hour of the show. But if you've lost it, of course, we want to invite you to please join us again tomorrow between, of course, the hours of 6 and 8 p.m. You've got to make that a date. You've got to put it on your calendar if you haven't, because where would you be if you're not listening to us, right? But anyways, welcome to the show. It is the second and final hour of the show. It being a Monday, of course, that means we speak personal finance. But I'd like to hear from you on +27734703520. That is +27734703520. We'd like to hear from you. Today is no different, it being a Monday. Like I said, we're speaking about a topic that I personally I'm very passionate about, and I know that my guest is also passionate about it, but I'm very, very passionate about this topic. We're talking creating generational wealth. As someone who, of course, doesn't come from that type of an environment, this topic is rather very close to my heart, and also very close to me in terms of just generally my work. You know, these type of things are really things that I love. Love and love, right? So most people plan to pass on their wealth to their children or other designated heirs, giving them the gift of greater financial security. Now, passing down of wealth, however, for many people seems more like a pipe dream. And in today's conversation, we want to learn how the average Joe or maybe Jane on the road can create and preserve generational wealth. And joining us this evening, it is Mpumi Mabanga, who is going to help us understand this a little bit more. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much. And yourself?
No, I am doing fantastic.
Yeah. Well. Oh, lovely, lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's start here. I want to start here for people who may not know you, because, of course, we know you. We've Googled you. We know what you do and all this sort of stuff. But for people who may not know you,
Usisi
Mpumi ubani?
Okay, Usisi Mpumi is a wealth manager by profession.
Yeah.
I work at a company called Cedar Invest.
Okay.
So basically, it's a company that is just contracted with your Old Mutual, your Sanlam, and your Allan Gray.
Yeah.
So at least we give you that bit of everything when it comes to us and when it comes to our own advisors.
Okay. How did you get yourself into this space?
Yeah, I believe God just granted me in this space.
Okay.
I'm not even gonna say it's something that I studied, because I studied HR, I studied human resource.
Okay.
And immediately, you know, after I completed my studies, my first job was in a financial, you know, institution.
Look at that.
So I just paved my way through until I got myself here.
So you're one of those that are blessed by God to have careers that find them instead of just struggling through a career, right?
Like, honestly, because, you know, even growing up, I wouldn't even say, you know, like, my mathematical acumen was not a merit. Like, I would never even imagine, like, or thought that I would be in a finance space.
Look at that. Look at that.
But here I am.
And loving it, right? They say finance people are the most boring people. Is that true? Because I don't think we are boring.
Boring?
Yeah. They say we are boring. We are like the most nerdy people, the most boring people. Like, we have nothing fun to do. All we do is numbers. That's what is fun to us.
But what is fun without those numbers?
Exactly. That's a good point.
Because we have to make those numbers and then...
Exactly, we can have fun. Yeah, all right. Oh, lovely, lovely. Thank you so much, man. But let's start here then. You know, you're talking about creating generational wealth, but I really want us to then start by perhaps defining it, because it seems like there's different understandings of what wealth is, and some people juxtapose it to, I suppose, riches, and then argue these things are different, they're not the same. In your world, and as a wealth manager, what are we talking about when you're talking about wealth? How would you define it?
Okay, so basically, okay, I'm going to start here. First of all, you hear, you know, people talk about like something like net worth. Someone's net worth.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, you know, just simple methods to calculate even just your net worth.
It's
just taking your assets, the number of assets that you have. Like now I'm talking about in an equation, like a calculation. Just taking your assets and you minus it, right? With your liabilities.
Okay.
Then you should know your net worth.
Yeah.
That's how you calculate your net worth right now.
Oh, okay.
So it's not about, you know, all the luxuries.
You
have like your Lamborghinis and all of that. But what if, you know, because a lot of people I've noticed, I mean, image, you know, status, they buy status.
Yes.
They buy image. But in order for you to know where you are in terms of your net worth, obviously a Lamborghini is not something I can say is an asset.
But you
just have to calculate your asset. Then you manage it with those liabilities. Then you know who's the dog.
Exactly.
But you know, wealth is abundance. You know, when I think about wealth, it's just it's abundance. So, you know, it's just like abundance of valuable financial assets, you know, of physical positions, obviously, which can be converted into a form, you know, that can be used, obviously, for transactions.
Okay. All right, so it is abundance of valuable financial assets, of course, that can then be converted. And so if that's the case, then what about intangible? Are those also assets? Can one look at some or other intangible assets that they might have, maybe some IP, develop some idea, and include that in their wealth?
And you know, an idea, because obviously, when you talk about wealth, every wealth that has been generated, it started with an idea. Obviously, an idea, it's, you know, I wouldn't count it as monetary, but the output of it.
Output.
Is then obviously converted into a monetary value. So, people, you know, it might be you sitting there with a multi-million dollar idea.
Yeah.
That you just need to start and take that action.
Yeah.
And put it into numbers. That's it.
Okay. So while it's still an idea, it's not yet a financial asset as yet. You need to convert it, get it into some or other output that can be quantified, I suppose. And then either sold to the market and then can generate X amount of money and then say, that's an asset.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then you hear people saying, you know, time, that's also wealth. Is that so?
Hey, time is very precious.
Hey, wait a king.
Time. That's why I said time waits for no man.
Yeah, it doesn't,
Time. Because also what you do with the time. That's why I say time is money.
Yes, time
is money. Because money has been made right now as we're talking.
Exactly.
Money has been made.
Exactly. That's very true.
Time is money. Time is.
So it's part of your abundance.
Pardon?
Is it also part of your abundance when you look at your worth and you say, my time is abundance as well?
it's one of the key drivers, I can say. One of the key drivers of when you talk about money.
Yeah.
Time is money, guys. It is.
No, it is. I agree 100%.
And the thing is about it, it's precious.
Yes.
And it's priceless.
Yes. Yeah. Time lost is never regained, as it were.
Because, you know, with that time, it's that time we use it, obviously, to earn the money.
Yes. That's very true. That's very, very true. Okay. All right. And then concept of generational wealth now, right? Before we even get into thinking about the average Joe or Jane, the concept of generational wealth, is it now generational abundance or generational availability or access of valuable financial assets, if I was to just borrow from your first definition?
if you were just to borrow me.
No, I'm saying if I was to borrow from your first definition of wealth, to say it's an abundance of valuable financial assets. So generational wealth is then what? Access to those financial assets that perhaps were created two generations up. What is this thing when you're saying now adding the word generational?
Well, you know, the first thing, you know, obviously that should come into your mind is, we always talk about it in finance,
yes,
and to my clients, is building a legacy.
Building a legacy. All right.
You know, you have to build a legacy. A legacy is something, yes, that is generational wealth. You have to create that. You have to build that. That's a legacy, so that it can be passed down. You understand? So, you know, generational wealth is obviously a financial wealth and essence that can be passed down, obviously, from one generation to the next.
Yeah.
Right? And we call that a legacy, financial legacy.
Yeah.
You know, I always, every time when I sit down with my clients and, you know, we, you know, we talk about like estate planning, obviously. That's the first thing
you
want. I want to hear that. Do they have interest, or, you know, what is it that they want to leave behind, the legacy that they want to leave behind for their beloved?
Okay, so it's legacy that they want to leave behind for their loved ones, I suppose. Setting them up. I once had a conversation with a colleague also in the industry, and he said something that I found quite eye-opening in a way. And he said that, you know, trust fund babies, I suppose those that come from legacies that have been left and all that, trust fund babies are born retired. I was like, any thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. Powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, trust fund babies, they, I see, even they, you know, I read somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, you know, remember, obviously, the trust fund baby, like, what do you have to worry about? You just have to worry about maintaining.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where else, you know, somebody like me who's not coming, but still obviously building.
Yes.
I have to,
start afresh.
There's a lot of going to be setbacks, hardships, time, patience. There's just so much.
Yeah.
That can also be a stressor.
Yeah.
You know, that could be also be a stressor, you know, to reach that.
Yeah.
You know, to have that. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy at all.
Yeah, sure. Hence, I suppose the need for these type of conversations, you know, to say, how do we start creating those generational wealth for the ones that are coming after us to leave that legacy so that, yeah, all they have to do is just worry about how do I maintain this 100 million? And that sounds like a good problem to have. You've got 100 million there that you just need to maintain and all those sort of stuff.
That's just sitting, yeah.
You
know?
That would definitely be life, yeah?
Yo, waiting for you.
Just waiting for you. Every day when you go to school.
What is it that you would like to
exactly, do? Exactly, you know. There's a trust that's waiting, and they're like, sir, you know, we are 12 years old, but they address you as sir or ma'am. There's still 100 million waiting for you when you're 18. So we just wanted to give you a statement.
Absolutely. You obviously are just like that, eh? That mistake comes naturally so.
Yeah.
18 years old.
Imagine. Sir, do you want a cup of coffee or cappuccino before we talk about your trust funds? That's where we should be aiming to, right? So I'm the average Joe or I'm the average Jane. All I am, I'm earning my income. You know, is it possible for me to start creating wealth, or is it only for, I suppose, the trust fund babies that you talk about, or maybe those that somehow, you know, get the lotto and all that? Can an average income earner ever start doing that?
Absolutely. Many have started from nothing. In fact, all of us here in this world, we came here with nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? So even if that person, the whether it's Bill Gates came here in this world with zero.
Yes. Yes.
So the possibility that shows which it's, yes, it's possible.
Mm.
Because we all came here with zero. Mm. Everybody was zero. Mm. Zero, zero.
Mm.
So you just have to, it's a matter of you taking that zero and changing that digit into another digit.
Yeah. I love that.
You understand?
I love that. Sure.
And skill.
Mm.
Skill. You know, there was I read something. I remember I was reading about, you know, these luxury brands.
Yeah.
And I read Chanel, you know, the luxury brand Chanel.
Yeah.
Yo, I, you know, I pounder into that story so much. When I read that, I still ponder to even today.
Mm.
So Chanel basically was like a young girl, right?
Mm.
So I'm so sorry. I'm just going to have to, tell my listeners about this
story. Problem. Yes.
And, you know, she had four siblings. So there were five in all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, her mother passed away when they were very young.
Yeah.
And in that case, then the father was like, okay, no, I have five children and I cannot afford them. So the father just felt like, you know what, he's just going to take the kids to the orphanage home.
Mm.
So that's when they stayed there. They stayed there at the orphanage home.
Mm.
So when I read the story, they said when she was there at that orphanage home, they learned a skill. So they used to sew a lot. That And you realize, okay, she was staying there and, you know, she got to learn that skill of sewing.
Yeah.
And then that skill of just sewing, that's when now she started designing stuff.
Yo.
Now it's the luxury brand.
Yes.
But you can understand the craft. It came from humble beginnings, from nothing, from an orphanage home. But today it's worldwide.
It's worldwide.
It's luxury.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. You everything is possible. You just have to start. We just have to start now.
Should we just have to start
from nothing?
Yeah, that's very true. Okay.
Or it still takes that idea.
Yeah.
That's still.
Yeah. Okay. And where do I start then? What are some of the steps or key steps that you can share, I suppose, in order to start building then?
First, obviously, you have to know exactly what is it that you want to do.
Okay.
Just have an idea. Well, we get people, obviously, if you know, might have some money. If you have some money, you know, then you want to diversify it.
Mm.
Invest into, you know, like your bonds and just, you know, your stock.
Mm.
Basically, just diversify.
Mm.
That's how you start. But before you even start, I always say this to my clients, even the ones who are going on retirement. I'm like, you know, you don't want to retire and still paying debts.
Yeah, you don't. Mm-hmm.
The first thing you want to do, clear the debts, all the debts you have.
Yeah.
You must have a peace of mind.
Yeah.
You must have a peace of mind.
Mm.
So you must have, you know, get into that habit of a healthy financial habit.
Mm.
You know, we can't be living debt to debt. No, you have to clear it out.
Mm-hmm.
Sort that out first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you build. You have to be first by sorting out, you know, your debt.
Mm.
And then, you know, you just spend less.
Yeah.
And, you know, you invest.
Yeah.
You invest into, you know, there are various ways to make money.
Mm.
You know, whether it's investing, whether an idea you promote, you never know.
Yeah.
Like, here, your Mark Zuckerberg, they have Facebook. It was an idea.
Yeah.
They just executed it.
Yeah.
And now it's making billions and, you know.
And billions of money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Absolutely.
The billions that our dear loving president was talking about a few years ago. Billions upon billions.
Billions upon billions.
Where those billions went, we don't know.
Absolutely.
We love him though. Eh?
Let's not get started.
All right. Now, what are some of the drawbacks, if any, Sisi Mpumi, that you can think about when trying to build generational wealth? In other words, what are the things to look out for? Any, I suppose, red flags? Maybe red flags is not the right word, but what are some of the things to look out for, potential drawbacks, if any?
I would say, obviously, inheritance, you know, may solve a few immediate financial concerns, or open avenues once, obviously, unexplored.
Mm.
But it cannot promise anything in the long term.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it has been estimated that 70% of generational wealth will be lost by the second generation.
Yo.
And 90% lost by the third.
Yo.
So basically, if an ongoing legacy is a priority, right?
Mm.
You have to set up trust.
Mm. Okay.
You have to have educational funds.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
That may be a better plan
than
passing wealth on to your family members.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, because they might just squander it, I suppose, because...
yes,
yeah.
It happens.
They might just squander
it. Sorry, I wanted to. I can't do that. I can't be name-dropping. But I was, yay.
I've
seen it.
Nah.
It happens. Like, how? This family, what happened?
Sure. And that's always the hardest part, eh? When you say, my family used to have X and Y. And now it's not there. And you're like, yeah, I was born at the wrong time in this family, you know.
Because that's why now you even have things like, I blew it.
I blew it, exactly. Yeah.
You warn yourself, like, you know,
yeah,
something, Niana, that you could have used. But,
yeah.
When you decided you just squandered.
It happens, eh? Okay, talking about that, because it then raises the question around preservation, right? Preserving that generational wealth, because I suppose building it is one thing, you know, knowing what you want to do, investing, diversifying, sorting out debt and all that. This is you building so that you can then have that peace. But now you've built, you've set up this fund, and then the generations that come, how do they even start preserving it? Because like we're saying, that's another avenue or risk where it might just be blown in the second and even the third generation.
You know, preserving wealth requires thoughtful planning.
Thoughtful planning. Okay. Love that.
That's the first thing. It requires a thoughtful planning and with the right legal structures.
Okay.
You want to have the ability to minimize your taxation.
Okay.
And, you know, things like your trust.
Yeah.
I'm currently, at the moment, you know, now in the month of August.
Yeah.
As well as next month, September.
Mm.
I'm presenting, you know, all over with schools. Mm. I'm going there and I'm just like, telling people, you know, 70% of people, they don't have a will in place.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a sad one.
It's part of estate planning.
Yeah.
If you want to preserve your, you know, as we talk about this topic, also a will. Mm. You must have a will in place.
Mm.
Because, you know, things like a will in place. Just simple things like that.
Yeah.
And a trust.
Yeah.
So obviously, trust, obviously, is a form of property ownership that, you know, that separates beneficial ownership from the legal ownership. So what it does is a trust appoints a trustee as the legal owner of assets, while obviously, you know, naming one or more beneficiaries who will enjoy the benefits of the property held in the trust. So, preserving wealth, you know, another thing, I was telling, you know, I do tell people, you know, that, you know, what are my friends, I was like, guys, you must have something like your life cover, a simple life cover. Mm-hmm. Imagine right now, you have a life cover that maybe you might take for your mom.
Yeah.
And then... because a lot of people with us, especially in our Black society, people like they like to, you know, funeral cover.
Yes.
Only thing they think about is funeral cover.
Yes.
Of which a funeral cover, you're talking about 15,000, 20,000, 50,000 just
amounts
for the funeral, and that's it.
Mm.
Where else, instead of a funeral, obviously funeral cover, you just add a life cover.
Mm.
10 million.
Yeah.
That person passes on, you have a 10 million
yeah.
right there on the
side. Yeah.
You're 10 million richer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get it.
Mm.
So things like that. Instead of, I mean, I know funeral cover is important, but also they must consider life cover as well. That's why, you know, just having, you know, sitting down with your financial advisor, your wealth manager, that you can explore so many possibilities, you know, of how to preserve, you know, your wealth.
Mm. Mm.
Making sure that everything is in order.
Yeah, is there a particular value, I suppose, in creating generational wealth? In other words, is there a minimum starting point, or it's zero and then you need to start building from there?
Like I just said, you know, I know people, I've read about people who had zero and turned that zero into something big, into big numbers.
Mm.
So it's sometimes I wouldn't even say you have to have or feel pity and say, oh, well, because, you know, I didn't have, my parents didn't leave me so and so. It's not about them. It's about you at the end of the day and about what you're going to do about your situation.
Mm.
You understand? Mm. You basically start with what you have because even a person that, you know, it's like not having money and you say, oh, but I can't start a business or a certain business. So what's going to happen now? You're going to wait. How are you going to make that money? You have to wait first.
Mm.
You have to start with what you have.
Mm.
And then, you know, you build on, you build on. Connections as well, you know. Connections plays, you know, an important role.
Mm.
You know, when you connect with the right people, I think good things can come out of that.
Yeah. Yeah,
but basically, it's not about how much you have, or, you know, you just start with what you have.
Yeah,
compounded, and, you know, you just do that repetitively. That's all.
Yeah, sure, that's really love. So you can start at zero, and just start from there and start building from there. As we wind down then to a close, financial literacy, how important is it? Because I suppose the more we know, the better clued we are about such things, the better we can structure our future, our life, our net worth and all that, protect ourselves, start creating this generational wealth and preserving it and all that. But there seems to be some lack of financial literacy that we are neglecting, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. There is a huge lack of financial literacy to our people because knowledge is power.
Mm.
Knowledge is power. Mm. Financial literacy is a powerful tool that can unlock the path from knowledge to wealth.
Mm. Mm.
So after an idea, you definitely need financial literacy because that is the tool that will unlock that part for you from that knowledge into now getting yourself that wealth.
Yeah.
You know, financial literacy can help individuals reach their goals, obviously, because now you know better, you do better.
Yeah. Yeah.
You become strategic about other things because you are knowledgeable.
Mm.
Yes, I know, you know, you have to take risk, you know, it's part of it.
Mm.
But, you know, by better understanding how to, like, you know, simple things like budget.
Yeah.
Save money.
Yeah.
Invest. Individuals can create plans that can define expectations.
Sure. Sure. That's really lovely. Lastly, then, as a side question, it's almost like wealth managers and financial coaches and advisors are like dentists. People don't like going to them. Why do people fear you so much?
You know, I think they, you know, you're thinking, ish, money.
Mm.
Like, you know, consultations.
Yeah.
They're going to charge me so much. No.
Hmm.
I don't know. You know, where else? For example, now my consultations are for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of these financial literacy things, now we live in a digital world.
Yes.
people talk about this every day.
Yes.
So I feel like there's various ways also to access the knowledge, but you need like a financial advisor.
Yes.
Someone can sit down and properly plan, you understand? Because you understand people like us, we tailor like a whole broad financial plan.
Yes.
So depending also on your needs and on your goals, a person, a specialist, a financial advisor can help you reach your goals. And, you know, there's a lot of things you might not be aware of where else they can advise you, like do this. You know, they advise you where there is, should you need advice, you know. I think it's probably thinking, no, I don't know. Man, you think maybe it's money, it's costly?
Yes, yeah.
Well, no, it's absolutely not.
It's absolutely not. Eh? And it's sorting out your own future.
They don't even charge.
Yeah.
They don't charge you anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. All right.
And also maybe another thing is just, you know, as people, other people, they feel like they got it.
Yeah.
But they don't. You just like, it's fine.
Sure.
It's fine the way I'm doing things. Where else, you know what they say that as much as, yes, we do say, you know, like knowledge is power, but so as we're talking right now, me and you, we might be exchanging some knowledge.
Yeah.
But for it to have value, what me and you are talking about, it must be shared.
Yes.
To other people.
Yeah.
That's the value of it. It must be shared.
Mm.
So if you're going to be sitting at your own corner and thinking that, you know, you have it right, only for you to invite someone and say, look, man, I'm sitting here with this, here's my finances.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. How can we improve? You'll be so surprised.
Yeah.
Two is always better than one, especially with a specialist. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's even a verse about that, right? About two people, they make better decision making than if it is one person there. To our listeners, it is +27734703520. We'd definitely like to hear from you. How do we bring it home, ma'am? And how can people get a hold of you if they need your services?
People can call me on my number. My number is 063-049-7432.
Yeah.
I also, you know, have an email address, which is bomimabanga@cedar.co.za.
.co.za. All right. Thank you so much, ma'am, for your time and also for sharing some of your insights this evening. May God continue to bless you and your work.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, Sisi Mpumi Mabanga. They're talking to us about the importance and just how do you go about creating financial wealth. How do you go about it? It is about, you know, an abundance of valuable or financial assets. This is me now attempting at a very professional person, right? Just summarizing some professional insights that she shared with us there. It is about abundance of valuable financial assets. It's about building a legacy from one generation to another. How do you do that? Well, you must first know what you want to achieve, which is financial freedom or generational wealth, whatever the case might be. You know, synonymously, maybe you might use some of these words. But know what you want to do and then invest, you know, sort out your debt, diversify your investments so that you can then be able to, you know, start creating that financial wealth and also start thinking forward about preserving that financial wealth. And that it means, of course, you must do some forward thoughtful thinking and planning for things around your legacy. Build a trust, maybe. Yeah, it's not only for people with money. Like she said, it's for us who have zero bank balance right now. And that's where it starts. Once you have a vision and you know what you want to achieve, with that zero that you have, you might just start building there. And she said, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. But I definitely like to hear from you. +27734703520. That is +27734703520. That's, of course, the number that you can use to talk to us and let us in on what your thoughts are on this very, very important topic of creating generational wealth.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.